Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Memorabilia, mainly Star Wars memorabilia. We go through our collection and also have a guest with one of the biggest collections we've ever seen. For more information about the news and links we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Welcome!
Yes!
Hello, my geeks! Welcome back, have you missed us?
I like the whirl that you did on us, Aaron. You're like, hey!
I surprised everybody this time with a surprise start.
It was like the clown from Poltergeist.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a video game professional and writer here in Hollywood, California, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Peter Robinson. I'm a...
He's a something.
You don't know what he is.
I tell you what. We went to Yosemite this weekend, and I'm a little out of it. My name is Peter Robinson, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
My name is Matt King, and I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek. And we have a very, very special guest this week, who is...
Thomas Supernaw, makeup artist, makeup effects artist in Hollywood, California, and a geek, so I'm told.
Oh, yes. So you're told.
With a two-sided lightsaber in his
in your lap.
I think you qualify. I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
Yep, that would qualify you.
Yeah, I think that definitely qualifies you for geek.
So, excellent. How was everybody's geek week and a half, 2 weeks?
Oh, good gravy.
I read a fabulous book that everybody must go out and buy. I actually read a galley copy, so I don't really know who it's by. But It's called The Amulet of Samarkand. It's the first in the book of the Bartimaeus trilogy. It's written from the point of view of a genie, and it's badass. It is really a fantastic, great little fantasy book. Go out, read it, do it. It's wonderful. That's my geek week. Done, done.
Guess who I saw right before I came here?
Who did you see just before you came here?
The Dark Enforcer from Who Wants to Be...
No, really?
Yeah, I was walking back to work, and the Dark Enforcer...
Didn't you work with her?
From...
Nice. Nice, Tom. You're going to get me in trouble.
The bad guy from Who Wants to Be a Superhero walked past me, and I was like, hey, Dark Enforcer, and he turned around and smiled.
Did you scream and throw your underwear at him?
You know, what I didn't do is ask him to be on the show. It just kind of... slipped my mind. I was with somebody else, and I walked by and went, oh, damn.
Come on.
So I don't...
Dark Enforcer?
Yeah, I know. It was stupid. Anyway, he kind of looks like the Dark Enforcer even on the streets.
Well, Aaron and I went up to Yosemite this weekend, and we did a 20-mile hike. So we might be a little fried this episode.
How non-geeky of you.
Exactly. Anybody else have a geek week?
I went to Strategicon.
Oh, you did go.
I did.
Oh, good.
I went down for a day.
Did you whoop their asses, Don?
Well, actually, long story there. I went down for the day, and I mistimed everything. You don't understand. Like, it was a debacle from the moment I walked in the front door.
So you tried to sign up for games.
Every game I went to, I got there 5 minutes too late, and they were full. So I'd wander around looking for something else to do. And the only thing I ended up playing all day long was Mahjong.
Ew.
That was the only game I could find in progress that had room for me.
Did you check the open rooms upstairs?
I did, and there was never anything starting. It was always kind of long, epic games halfway through. So I had given it up as a wash.
Was it with three little Chinese ladies?
No, it was actually with two rather large... natural-smelling gentlemen who are very enthusiastic about Mahjong.
Got some gamer funk going.
Huh? Yeah. It was Ode to Gamer.
You could spread it on toast.
That
you
night,
could spread it on toast?
I was wandering through the lobby trying to figure out what to do, and I realized, oh, the vampire LARP is starting. Hmm. I haven't LARPed in quite some time.
Oh, no.
So I stopped in, and they handed me a character. And by the end of the evening, long story short, apparently I impressed the Southwestern administrator and storyteller for the Southwestern region of the United States. because he comped my membership into the North American Camarilla Organization. So
oh, good.
Now I'm part of that group. No, like
oh,
it was
thank
a
God.
Big prize. I was the only one who got it out of like 60 people.
So what do you get, like a free set of vampire fangs or
no,
something?
No, you get a year membership. You can go play at any of the games anywhere you want.
And oh, really, that's right.
There's one in
They're
Los
charging
Angeles.
For games
they,
now.
They charge to be entered into the North American network so that your character can travel between any city you want.
That's so dumb.
And
they charge for playing a freaking role-playing game.
He gets really thick
blood wine. Well, yeah, but keep in mind,
now.
This is not just a role-playing game that you sit down at a table. This is a role-playing game where you have to go rent a bar. This is a role-playing game where you have to go rent a location.
Okay, okay.
So this is, I mean, that's something that you have to take into consideration.
Oh, you right. crazy LARPers.
So I have gotten him and another storyteller from one of the local LARP organizations to agree to come to do our show. And advocate LARPing and explain.
I'm
why
sorry, but
women
that's
should
just,
sleep with LARPers.
That's just that too geeky.
Do I have to?
That's
be
too geeky.
That's just
Aaron. I love
cold.
How you have this like freeway mentality about geeks. Like anybody who's going slower than you
yeah.
is an asshole. And anybody who's going faster than you is insane.
Yeah, it's a, yeah, same thing. You have to be on my
no
geek
turn
level.
Signal.
No turn signal. Yeah, it's, all right.
Well, that's cool. So he's going
to
do it.
So we will be having a LARP session sometime in the near future.
Oy.
And if I can find a way to sneak the other three geeks out without their wives and girlfriends finding about it, all three of them will be attending a LARP event in the near future.
I don't know. You know, Matt's girlfriend said that that would be the...
Well, she
actually,
said
I think
that
all
about
of ours.
The fuzzy dice that now hangs from his rearview mirror.
Yes. Yeah. She actually chides herself for actually having mentioned the fuzzy dice on the show, and so the geeklings got a wind of it, so that Don bought it for me as a present. Now she's like, "Damn me! Why did I say it on the air?"
She's gonna take me out at one of these parties. You know, she's gonna be a cat drive by. She's gonna elbow me. And
all right, so those of you out there who've been waiting for a LARPing episode by us, it is in the future.
It's impending.
And Aaron
like
will
doom.
LARP. Okay. Aaron is going to go to a LARP and he's going to draw little dice and challenge people.
Okay.
Oh,
he's going to try and bite people's necks.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anybody else have anything?
No.
Geeky? Should we try news then?
Let's do some
Perhaps
news.
We should move on to geek news.
All right. Let's do
Cue
it.
The music. Yeah,
wow,
love
that
music.
Was awesome. That was great music.
We always post in music afterwards, so okay. They make fun of me from that there is no music. All right, so geek news.
Let's do some news. Who do you want to start?
I'll start.
Okay, Peter.
So I found a story. Have you guys noticed that there's a new type of spam that's been coming around? Mm. That it's all JPEG images these days or GIF images?
Yeah.
Because that way they can't, you know, they
spam
don't...
Spam guard them, yeah.
Spam guard them because they don't know what's in it.
Huh.
Well, I found something that might be the next direction that even this is going, which is someone found a spam with a
Java?
A GIF image with subliminal advertising in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see, I'm going to pass around. It's one of those standard things where it's like, you know, here, buy our, you know, stock. And you'll see that every once in a while, for like 10 milliseconds, you'll see buy, buy, buy real fast, and it'll go. It's not quite subliminal yet because you can actually see it here. But clearly, they could have made it, if they wanted to be subliminal.
So that flashes on the screen.
It flashes on the screen.
For a few milliseconds.
Yeah, for just you can actually
this
barely
is great
make
radio
it out.
Again. This is great radio. We're looking at
and I will, of course,
here.
Link to this.
Okay, good.
So that people can
see. So they're, yeah, that's they flash crazy. Buy, 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 buy. I mean, Coke got in huge trouble for that.
Yeah that's because it's a broadcast.
But this is spam. Right. So it's
yeah,
like,
you can
there's
do
no,
it.
Well, and there's no regulation for email.
And on top of that, you know, spammers, you know, they really listen to regulations. They care a lot about it, you know. Mm. They're spamming from some other country probably anyways at this point because they could be so sued,
what,
you know.
What about subliminal and the posters that you see, like, driving along roadsides and stuff, you know, billboards and whatnot?
As they flash on by and multiple signs make
no,
a message
but,
to you?
No,
but,
no,
but
just like when you're stuck in traffic and you're looking at a sign and, you know, just have you noticed, like, the major freeways, there's always certain ads – like on the 210, there's like In-N-Out, and there's all these different things that are really they get you thinking, like, maybe I need to pull off and eat. Maybe I need to pull off.
Well, first of all, make me prop. There's really no regulation make me prop that you know, regulates signs. So,
wow.
I mean, like, you know, so you can't really make me prop that. You know, you can't really regulate that.
Wow. I, for some reason, I just really want to make you a prop.
Suddenly, Tom feels like making props for Aaron. Huh, weird.
How'd that happen?
I find that fascinating. They're like the In-N-Out burger.
The
sign.
Big 3D In-N-Out, ugly okay, In-N-Out
but
is, burger.
Am I the only one who thinks the In-N-Out burger sign looks like an enormous schlong?
Yeah.
Actually, no. I gotta say, a lot of these things intentionally do that, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, not the Burger that, King not... sign looks like a vagina to me, you know? Sideways vagina.
Wow. You have think not you seen enough vaginas. Yeah.
You are reading. You are totally
it's
reading.
It's got that little green bit in the middle and the yellow thing kind of oozing out.
Yeah. Don, stop. All stop. Right.
What?
I don't know where you're
you
going.
You ever work in a morgue? Is that your exposure to vagina?
It's been a really long time.
Savings throw against cringing. Fail.
Oh, God.
Flash Gordon is going to hunt me down and kill me like a dog in the street.
All right, Don.
Don, hit it,
please.
New story. Hit it. New story, please.
All right. Sanju Bhagat's stomach was once so swollen he looked 9 months pregnant and could barely breathe.
I heard about this.
Living in the city of Nagpur, India, Bhagat said he'd felt self-conscious his whole life about his big belly. But one night in June 1999, yeah, it's an old story, his problem erupted into something much larger than cosmetic worry.
Oh, this is not like a vestigial twin or something.
Ambulance rushed the 36-year-old farmer to the hospital. Doctors thought he might have a giant tumor, so they decided to operate and remove the source of the bulge in his belly. Basically, the tumor was so big that it was pressing on his diaphragm, and that's why he was very breathless.
He really did look
because
absolutely
of the sheer size
9 months pregnant.
Of his tumor, it makes it difficult to operate. Meta said he can usually spot a tumor just as he begins operation, but while operating on Bhagat, Meta saw something he had never encountered. As he cut deeper into Bhagat's stomach, gallons of fluid spilled out. And then something extraordinary happened. To my surprise and horror, I could shake hands with somebody inside. Oh, it was a bit shocking for me.
This is the reason why I don't do those full body scans.
He had just put his hand inside, and he said there were a lot of bones inside of him. First one limb came out, and then another limb, and then some part of genitalia, then some part of hair, some limbs, jaws, limbs, hair. Inside Bhagat's stomach was a strange half-formed creature that had feet and hands that were very developed. Its fingernails were quite long. A subsumed twin that had been inside of him since birth and had been connected to him umbilically inside him as he lived. So it continued to develop and gestate inside of him so that these bones continued to grow and develop and grow hair and fingernails. Come on. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
My wife said, we were talking about going to get those full body scans, and I said the reason why I don't want to go is because I'm afraid I'm going to find like a vestigial twin like inside me somewhere. She's like, you are so freaking weird.
See, no, I remember watching Ripley's Believe It or Not when I was a kid, and they had like some Tibetan farmer dude that when he brushed his hair up away from his ear,
he had another
mouth sticking out just below his ear with teeth and everything that he could open and close the mouth.
Oh,
and click the teeth together.
Yeah, but, he dates a lot.
Yeah, but he can sing a hell of a duet.
Yeah. Someone on my forums beat me to the story. Thank you, Bad Santa.
And the guy looked, and he was made fun of in his village for years. Like, hey, you're pregnant. Hey, you're pregnant. And he thought after getting this operation, it would end. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, hey, you gave birth. Who's it, you know, did you put it up for adoption? And he's like, you know, this sucks.
What is he, in grade school?
Yeah, well.
I mean, like, who are these 36. Townspeople?
Different senses of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
The world.
Hey, well,
we
Mr.
did an
Pregnant.
Episode a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm strong medicine.
I still have the little silicone.
That's right. You built one.
I built like three or four of them, and they were in little embryonic sacks. And Pat had to actually cut the sacks open and have fluid gush out and snip them and remove them from a baby, actually. They did a little scan of a baby and found a baby growing inside, but it was all malformed. And we couldn't make it look too much like a baby. It was basically like some chewed up chewing gum with like a malformed arm and a foot. It was kind of nasty.
That's creepy.
But they're silicone and they're really, you know, like fetal looking. And the last couple parties I've had, I've like cleaned them up and everything. They're silicone. They're medical grade silicone. And I would stick them like on the crudité platter and see if anyone notices. You know, it's just It's disturbing and fun, you know, next to the salsa and chips.
I gotta go to your Halloween parties.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally want one to stick to the side of my head.
You know? Be like a Mongolian farmer.
Yeah, one of the first times I ever met Tom, I show up at the Halloween episode of Strong Medicine, and I walk into the makeup trailer, and he's wearing lifts. Weren't you wearing lifts?
No, they were just some big boots. Yeah, some big black biker boots.
And he's blue. I mean, he's just full on blue.
Oh, I think maybe
and
we saw
he's got with the horns. And he had gigantic horns sticking out of his head, right. And it just looked straight out like there was a big devil doing makeup in the makeup trailer.
And my chrome contacts.
And his chrome
which
contacts.
No one could look at me.
Devil in the blue dressing room.
Yeah. Oh, Don.
Is this the episode we're trying to gross everybody out?
Yes.
Boy, I thought this was a toy episode.
Right. Oh, hit it, Aaron.
All right, this is not gross. Apple, after some rumors, this has now been confirmed. Apple today has confirmed that it's going to hold a special event on Tuesday, September 12th, and the event is called It's Showtime. So, the speculation is flying. A lot of people are thinking that Apple is going to use this to talk about maybe a new iPod Nano. The iPod video that we've all been waiting for, which cool. is the full screen one. Maybe a 23-inch iMac. And maybe, this is the real long shot, the iPod-inspired phone. But also...
If it worked like a Mac, I'd buy it.
Well, you probably have to buy a Mac, too. But yeah. But also, the other big thing is what they're speculating, which I... almost sure is going to happen based off this title is they're going to announce that movies are going to be downloadable on iTunes. In fact, there has been a list that's been released. We don't know if this is true or not. So this list is a rumor, but from Walt Disney Pictures, James and the Giant Peach, Pocahontas, Lion King, Aladdin, Chicken Little, Herbie, Sky High, Ice Princess, National Treasure, Pirates of the Caribbean, and The Chronicles of Narnia.
That sounds pretty standard. Yeah.
Pixar, Toy Story 1 through 2, 3, Bugs Life, and a couple others. Miramax, we have Cold Mountain, I don't know why, Hours, Chicago, Cinderella Man, Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, and 4. Touchstones Pictures, Royal Tenenbaums, I don't understand how they pick some of these. Royal Tenenbaums, Pearl Harbor, Sixth Sense, okay, I get that. Unbreakable, Gone 60 Seconds, Shanghai Noon, Deuce Bigelow. Shanghai Noon I liked too, but. Deuce Bigelow?
I really love that. No, I can't.
King Arthur. Hidalgo, which I don't think did any... I mean, I don't know where they're getting these. Anyway, there's a couple... There's other ones, but I'm kind of wondering where they ran... Did they throw a dart at a dartboard and randomly pick these things?
Maybe they're thinking if these will go, then, like, you know... We can actually put our big shows out.
If we can sell these, we can sell anything.
Yeah. So the other rumor is that the price is going to be between $9.99 and $14.99. That seems too high to me.
That's spicy.
Seems too high. That's as much as a DVD player. And we all know what happened to the PlayStation Portable UMD movies. They priced them at $15 and up. They're actually more expensive than a DVD. And now they're not making them anymore.
You mean the movies are $9.99 and $14.99?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What did you think?
I thought you were saying that the player that was going to play them was
$999. No. The movie's $9.99 or between $10 and $15, essentially.
Okay.
I think that's too pricey for a downloadable movie that's half res that you can't watch on your television, surround sound with extras. I mean, if I can buy a DVD for the same price that's got extras and all sorts of stuff, why would I purchase that from iTunes? I just don't get it.
We'll see.
Anyway, we'll see.
Tommy, hit it.
Okay.
News story.
let's see. London bus drivers carrying DNA kits for catching face spitters. London bus drivers are being equipped with DNA sample kits with which to capture spittle when irate passengers spit on them. Fun, huh?
Wait. The bus drivers carrying,
yes, are carrying
DNA kits.
You can analyze it that fast.
Okay,
you can collect it.
What's really disturbing is they put it in a tube.
They bring it out.
Yeah, yeah. The driver was in Brent when the youth spat in his face. He took a sample of the saliva using a sterile swab. Police then tested it and found a match on the National DNA Database.
Which they do
the
have.
The National DNA Database.
Big Brother.
Scary.
Yeah.
All right.
We're supposed to have ours in place by 2008.
Oh, goody.
And
that's along with our national ID cards, which all of you made fun of me for bringing up.
And what was the skin sample, a little skin scraping, and the little inoculations that we got as children?
Oh, yeah, that's all in some weird database.
And whatever happened to Chris Carter? Okay, let's see. Yeah, that's an X-File right there. The 17-year-old was arrested yesterday and held for questioning. He may face a charge of causing a public nuisance or actual bodily harm. Some 2,500 kits containing two swabs, gloves, and an evidence bag have been given to drivers and other transport workers whose routes take them through Brent. So that's definitely not going to be on any London tours.
I guess. Now the in America they're going to apparently they're trying to get something like this done, but again, it's just like fingerprints. You have to have been through the system in order to get. It's not like supposedly they're not grabbing everybody's DNA and putting it on record and running it.
See, I think New York
baby
City,
with
a lot of female makeup artists I know in New York City have told me horror stories of their experiences in rush hour commuter traffic on
being
subways.
Groped and stuff like that.
Ejaculated on.
Yo.
There we go. That's the nice proper term. And that might be a really good thing to kind of curb that.
I worked in a movie theater when I was younger, and I had to kick people out because they would do that in the movie theater.
No, I've always thought that was a wives' tale. But
I worked in a magazine and cigarette
That's
store.
That's jacked.
We had to kick guys out because they'd go back to the porn section and just start jacking off right in the back of the store.
All
right,
we got to turn this episode. Right. This can't be this gross.
Okay. this is like the porn episode you guys are doing.
I have failed my cringe check like 9 times. Right now, okay.
I'd like to apologize.
Peter had an anticlimax.
I like to apologize. Apologize to our listeners about the foulness of this episode. But.
All right, Google Image Labeler. There's a new game that you can actually play on Google. You go in, really easy to go to it. Oh, we'll put the link on the site. You go, you click on, you become a guest, or you can sign in. What you do is you then pair up with somebody else who is signed in somewhere else in the universe, and it starts flashing images at you. And you start coming up with words as quickly as you can for what that describes. Or it shows a man and a baby. You're like, baby, man, father and child, red shirt, you know, family, stuff like that. And they're coming up with words as fast as possible, too.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever one of those words matches, it's like tree, grass, whatever, father and child, it clicks, you go on to the next picture. You get a certain number of points, and they post a high scoreboard every day. Now, what this is doing is basically taking Google's huge image database, and it's starting to, every time you make a match, they're realizing that it only takes two people to sort of come to a consensus on certain images, and that way their images are getting more and more accurate.
Oh, you mean the search patterns?
The search patterns for their images are getting more and more accurate. So while playing this game, you're making Google search patterns more and more accurate.
That's freaking awesome.
So basically you can go and you go, you know, you need an image of, you know, children 1942. You know, so when I was looking at this black and white image, I was typing in child 1942, soldier, you know, all the things that I associate with this image. And it basically makes the search pattern much more accurate.
Do you remember that Darth Vader, that the Darth Vader will guess whatever you're thinking game? They also did like a Burger King version. You would think of a word. And then you go on the website and Darth Vader would say,
I remember this.
You know, is it
bigger than
a bread box? And you go, yes.
He would guess, and he would get it right in less than
20 questions.
Okay.
But the game learned, like it logged a word. Like if you thought of a word that no one had ever thought of, it would log it. It would remember your answers. And if someone else used the word, it would log that. And pretty soon, it would come up with this algorithm to guess it faster and faster and faster. And it got better and better and better the more people used it. They also have ones that also determine, like, what sex you are. There's a program that just asks you a bunch of random questions about just various things. Not, like, things that are like trivia, but just random questions. And then guesses your sex or your age or whatever because it's taking a wide range of polls. And it says, men generally guess this or answer this way.
Have you ever been ejaculated on in a subway?
Right. I mean, you know.
We have just gotten our PG-13 rating back.
Anyway, I love these websites that are collecting data from all of us and kind of mashing
the one
together.
That freaked me out was the Burger King website. Do you remember this?
The one you tell the chicken to do something?
No, it was like they ask you, they tell you, think of an object or mm-hmm. a concept or anything, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask you 10 questions. We're going to figure out what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the same thing as this. Oh, it was the exact same program, but that instead of they put Darth Vader on the front yeah. instead
okay.
of
yeah. Burger King. See, that reminds me of the what superhero would you be, Marvel superhero? And they only had male superheroes when I first tried it. God knows what it is now. But, you know, I punch and you know you'd have to like answer these different questions and, mm-hmm.
and it would tell you what your superhero
was. And it kept coming up Punisher and I was like Punisher and my closest friends are like yeah it makes sense and I'm like no I was thinking some kind of cool or like something a little more mutant or something, not just an angry guy with guns.
At least it wasn't like Ant-Man or something. Exactly. Really
hey, Ant-Man's getting his own movie. What yeah, are you I talking know. About
all right
hit it Petey.
All right, you guys remember those Diebold voting machines that happen, you know, we've talked about many, many times.
Yeah.
Well, the Black Box Voting or Black Box Project has gotten their hands on one of them and gotten their hands on the security systems that they used. They used to let people take these home after voting. Mm-hmm. They used to let the election workers take them home, and they would give them this device that they put on it that theoretically locked it so that it could not be opened and it was tamper-proof.
Right.
Well, these people have found a way to open it within 4 minutes.
Nice.
So this is we will link to this to these pictures, but basically the device has an opening that has a that the memory card fits into, and the first line of defense is this metal piece that swings down and then it gets screwed in and you put a lock on it, and I'm going to pass this around.
Right.
And so they got a hold of a broken lock, but they jerry-rigged it so it would hold as if it was there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with this whole process is that there are screws on the back of the machine, okay?
Right.
And if you unscrew the back of the machine, you can take this off, and there's a second lock piece that does not have a there's a second bolt that's not held down by a lock. And if you can open up the machine, you can take this off and remove the card.
Right.
So these incredible machines that we yeah. used were
that are
very secure.
That are perfect for
the
know,
Huffington
for,
Post actually had a guy on there doing a video explaining verbally, just him talking into a camera, how to rig a Diebold machine in 5 minutes or less.
Yeah. Nice.
You know.
Cool. Nice. Well, the fact you could open it up at all
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, this is not like a great feat of engineering to make something that can't be opened except with a lock of
yeah,
some sort.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know,
the Diebold machines, I mean, they have zero security. It's just a fact. Anyone who's paid any attention to the news in the past 5 to 6 years knows that.
Right.
It's amazing to me that these senators are still fighting to keep them in place and that they're being allowed to keep their jobs. But just saying.
Crazy.
Got anything else, though?
All right, give me a beat. All right, keep it together. Now, the name of my next news story, to give you an idea of why I'm about to tell you my new song. Life-size likenesses of guard members ease separation pains. Flat mama, flat mama, she'll keep your cares at bay. Flat mama, she's here 'cause mom's away. Great, thank you.
What's flat mama?
Flat mama, flat mommies and daddies is a new program being sponsored by the Maine National Guard Unit.
Flat mama?
Flat mama, who are providing cardboard cutouts of your loved ones while they're away at war.
Oh, my God.
From the waist up.
So they're newscasters.
Yeah, pretty much. So you get a nice little cardboard cutout of them in uniform. And one family here is saying that the Holbrook's flat daddy has been to birthday parties, ball games, school, the hairdresser, the babysitters with Logan, and to the funeral of Mary Holbrook's mother. Justin dressed him in a Red Sox jersey and hat while watching a baseball game. On Halloween, he had a sumo wrestler outfit.
Is this so that it can be photographed?
Okay, are we that codependent in this society?
Yeah. No, come on. You're 4-year-old. I mean, I understand that. I think it's creepy as hell, but I understand why people are doing it.
I actually don't.
I don't
it
either.
It seems more damaging to me than anything else.
Sit there and it's the same thing as, like, kids will be kids. So, you know.
I mean, how dumb does your kid have to be to sit there and talk and react to a cardboard stand-up of your dad? Mm. I mean, is he, like, retarded?
I don't know if they're actually talking and reacting. I don't want to go that far.
But why bring it if you're not?
I don't know.
I mean, besides it's a photo, unless they don't want to Photoshop.
It just... You know, photographs and videotapes and everything else, things like that.
I mean,
you
that's... Know,
but... Ooh. That,
I mean, it's got to be for photos. It's got to be.
Wow.
Photoshop, but people. Photoshop.
Didn't they do that with our president? Isn't he like a cardboard cutout now?
Yeah. I think he's actually an animatronic.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to the House of Presidents.
Notice how you never see him when there's a power outage. Just saying.
Then they do one of those kickstart generators in the back.
Okay, I have a couple announcements. First of all, the Battlestar Galactica webisode, first summer webisode, started today, which was Tuesday the 5th. So if you want to know what happens between the end of the season 2 and the beginning of season 3, every Tuesday they're releasing little 5-minute mini episodes that are telling what's going on Caprica right now. So,
but they're not going to release those mini webisodes on the air.
No, they are not. Just, they might be on DVD later, but apparently this is all going to be webisodes.
That is like the cruelest appetizer ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't take a 5-minute hit.
So I saw it's pretty cool. They've got a little teaser for the next season at the end of it.
But Pete, do you know if Bear's doing the music for the webisodes?
I'll have to find out.
I'm sure they're using it, yeah.
Cruel appetizer. That would be thorn pudding or something like that, right?
Okay, the other announcement is Lost Season 2 DVD is out Tuesday the 5th today, which I bought mine and will be watching.
If you can get it out of my cool dead hands.
And then here's another announcement. There's a sequel to Wallenstein, the board game Wallenstein, called Shogun, that's coming out. Wallenstein's very famous. A lot of people love it. But the sequel is coming out soon. And Rick Thornquist, which a lot of other podcasters probably who listen to us also listen to Rick's podcast and go online and read his blogs and stuff. He got a copy of it already and has put his impressions of it. So far, he says it looks really cool. Anyway, we're going to put a link to that on our website. So if you guys are interested in Rio Grande games, that's coming out soon.
Nice. That's it. Mm. I got one last one. Okay. There's a Robo Sommelier now.
I'm going to trust this thing.
A wine-tasting robot has been developed by the researchers in Japan. The so-called robot sommelier, or winebot, can taste and identify types of wine and also has the ability to discern and analyze food. A 2-foot-tall robot developed by NEC. Remember what else NEC made? Yeah, anyway. And Mie University, it uses infrared light to identify different tastes.
This is so dumb. This is Japanese?
Yes.
You know what would make it really cool, though? Anthony Daniels' voice. This is a Merlot.
Oh, my. This is terrible wine.
You're absolutely...
Not another Zinfandel, no. We're two.
You're completely right. The green and white
robot. I'd buy two.
You do that quite well, by the way.
Thank you. I would buy that.
Me too.
The green and white robot was initially developed to taste and identify foods, analyzing the different kinds and quantities of ingredients within them. But now its tasting technology has moved into the world of wine, and the robot is capable of distinguishing several different types and or blends of grapes. We decided to focus on wine because that seemed like a real challenge, they say. The tasting robot analyzes wines and foods through its sensor on its arm. Infrared light is fired through the sample, and the robot can differentiate between different types of food and drink by determining the different wavelengths of light that are absorbed.
Okay, so it's telling us something that we already know. I mean, we already know how the wine is made. We want to know if it tastes good, not what's in the freaking wine.
Right.
Like... You know what I'm saying?
I sense grapes, Captain.
It's like we have a robot who's going to sense, tell us whether art is good or not. He's going to sense the art and tell us what the paint's made out of.
Yep.
Hello.
It would, you know what actually kind of be a practical use is contaminants.
Yes.
You know,
true.
A food taster robot.
A food taster robot. I mean, in this day and age with government spraying of meats.
I still think Anthony Daniels.
Well, no, that's true because what's his face? That Russian candidate.
Exactly.
Got poisoned.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. But. Yeah. Oh, take the makeup.
Tell you what, that's a great idea. We'll make a robot food taster, and we'll put Diebold in charge of securing the robots so that they can't be tampered with.
Exactly.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
I actually have a link.
Why don't we save it for the link section?
Yeah. No, I think it's super neat. I want to show it now.
Okay. All right.
There. So.
I want to do it now.
There's this really neat thing that's happening over at Harvard University. They've hired a company called XVivo, which is a Connecticut-based scientific animation company, to customize and develop an animation that would propel Harvard's molecular and cellular biology program to the next level of undergraduate education. They've created a short animation titled The Inner Life of the Cell, which has won awards. It's an 8-minute piece, and it shows you what it looks like inside the microscopic world of the cell and how it works. And I've seen it. It is so cool looking.
So you can put a link to that?
Yes. It's the first in a planned series. Even though it's 8 minutes, they've got only about 2.5 minutes showing what it's like. But one of the things that they found in a preliminary evaluation is that it enhances the performance for the students on certain questions by almost 30% in terms of their retention.
Well, you can visualize it.
Yeah. It's so much easier to see it.
Man, if I had been able to walk inside a cell, I might understand what mitochondria are today.
And actually, why don't we pause for a second? I'll just show you a quick couple seconds of it.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Now, I want you now.
Shall we move on to our guest?
Yeah, but first, since we have so many new listeners now, because we mentioned links, if you want to get more information about all this news and these links, make sure you go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Check it out.
Cool.
Shameless self-promoter.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, so let's move on to our topic of the evening. All right, so what's the topic of this evening?
The topic of this evening is toys, collectibles. What did you say, Don, that was the most...
Memorabilia.
Yeah, funniest thing. Why we geeks collect toys like an old person collects
like
newspapers?
Senior citizens collect newspapers.
Senior citizens collect newspapers.
I think, you know, tonight we might be talking more about memorabilia, things that are kind of connected to more memorable television shows, movies, or other moments, because, you know, and I don't know why geeks focus on that. Maybe that's another
well,
talk about.
Tommy's going to have to answer that.
Wow.
So we have Tom Serpernaw. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you pronounce it one more time and slowly?
Okay. Serpernaw.
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 And it's French. It's in and via French Canadian.
Yeah.
And multi-ethnic background.
Tom was the makeup artist on Strong Medicine, where I met him. And Tom is an extremely talented makeup artist who who taught at what's the name of the school?
Last Looks and Westmore Academy.
And also, who did you? Were you an apprentice to Rick Baker? Or did you just
I just worked with Rick, and he's was a really good client of mine, buying products that I manufacture. Actually, I'm not just a on the set makeup artist, but I actually developed some products and sell them.
And was the makeup artist for X-Men 3?
Well, one of the many makeup artists for X-Men 3.
Okay,
But I actually got to didn't get to work on Superman.
We saw looked like every Star Trek was in your book.
More importantly, did you get to work on Mystique?
No, but after the show, I'll share something.
With you. Oh. We saw a lot of Buffy stuff.
Last season of Buffy.
Yeah.
I won an Emmy for Deep Space Nine.
Very cool.
It was some old age makeups, and I got to do an old age makeup on Sadig with a couple other fellow makeup artists. Progressive.
Kalis, breathe.
Yeah, we have a listener who's a big Star Trek fan.
Just the one, though. Aaron more than says, one. Drooling and shaking slightly.
Yes, exactly.
I hold it together.
I did the very first Klingon Borg makeup.
I saw that was a good cool.
That was a lot of fun, and we were on the. It was really neat being on the outside of the Enterprise for once. We're always in the hallways and shuttles and whatnot, and it was nice to actually you know, get to be out on that deflector.
That was from the movie, then.
First Contact.
Right, right.
And
that's when we learned that the Borg take over other aliens besides white dudes.
Yeah, exactly. and it was
white and male humans.
And yeah, it was really, it was kind of dizzying being on that set the way it was, because it was, you always see it and it's horizontal and yeah. It was vertical facing upward and blue screen, and that blue screen for some reason kind of throws off my inner ear or something.
You
and
have no reference problem.
I just start getting dizzy and I it's like doing ecstasy and amyl nitrate or something. So I'm told. I don't know. Anyway, I'm a makeup artist. I don't know these things.
Nevertheless, also Tom, we're going to have him back on the show numerous times, obviously, for many, many reasons. But he's also an avid collector of Star Wars stuff. Mm. Stuff with a capital S.
Mm. Now, is it, do you stick to Star Wars?
Well,
because you brought some pictures.
Wow, good question. Okay, God.
I mean, we saw a couple. Your home apparently is filled, because I've seen some of these photos. We're going to try to get some on the web somehow, but...
Yeah, we can just scan them in, or I can scan them in.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because, and I saw a lot of Star Wars, but do you have room for other...
I've had to put a lot of stuff away, actually, in boxes. Mm-hmm. When I was a child, since I'm probably the oldest person in the room, I was fortunate enough to grow up with the Mego 8-inch clothed figures, mm-hmm. And I had all the superheroes. I still to this day have my Batman and Robin.
I had the tall Wonder Woman that was too tall.
Yeah, I still have her. And a friend of mine who was a big collector, I ended up finding Hippolyta.
Hippolyta?
Hippolyta.
It's her mom.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
I was pissed that she was made by somebody else. She was actually taller than Batman Robin. Yeah, never worked out. I hated that.
But I still have my Batmobile and my Bat Cycle.
Did you have the Bat Van?
No, never. As a child, I thought that was goofy. I still have a couple of my Planet of the Apes, original Planet of the Apes. Roddy McDowell figures and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, and let's see.
I always thought the problem with those. The other problem with those dolls is that, like Batman, Batman had. They had plastic heads.
Now they had the removable cowl Batman. It was very limited. I've seen a couple of them, and Mego produced a very small amount. I guess it was very cost effective. And the masks, now a lot of the ones that are still available, the masks have decayed.
Yeah.
And then there was Action Man or whatever, and they mm-hmm. you could buy the different outfits and you could get the removable mask one.
Well, you know, I would always like lose the damn clothes, so you have this naked Batman and Spider-Man, and then they have the masks would be painted on, so there was this weird thing going on.
I lost my action figures. I swear to God, there's still a Han Solo buried in my front yard somewhere.
Okay, so you moved from that.
And then Star Trek. I still have a couple of my... I have the Klingon from the Mego series. And I always wanted the Bridge of the Enterprise. That was like that vinyl pull-apart.
Yeah.
Really cool. And you know, that was really cool. But when Star Wars came
with the elevator that you spun around.
Yeah, that was wicked. It was like
the transporter.
Yeah, it was so cool. And jump forward to the Mattel one or whatever that they came out with. That was
the
like the mirrors. It was for Next Generation. I have that actually.
Old. You guys were too young for that.
But when Star Wars came out, it just, for so many of us, it just really changed the way we felt about everything in life. Mm-hmm. You know, from you know, drinking milk to dating. I mean, it changed your view on everything. Milk should be blue and you should date your sister. I mean, it was great.
Lessons to learn.
And so, yeah.
Most of our listeners agree with you after having seen Aaron's sister.
Okay. Oh. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, a calamari could be a captain of a ship and people are just really good with that. That whole thing and aliens and seeing really wacky aliens and mm-hmm. instead of like guys in dark grease paint with like mustaches and goatees, you know, it looked like East LA, you know, it's like, yo, the Klingons, you know,
but so, I mean, you know, for most of us, Star Wars was our toys. I mean, when Star Wars came out, almost every boy I knew got probably 60 to 70% of the toys they got was Star Wars related.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Mine were all Star Wars
so
related.
So I brought a special thing. I've been playing with it in the bag here, and just guess what this is. This is the...
Luke Skywalker?
No, this is the figure that... This is a figure that all of us wanted and somehow could never find.
I wanted Boba Fett. So
no, well, there's one that hasn't been made.
No, this was made, but it was limited. It came in a set, and people spend oodles of money.
Oh, it's
shit.
Bossk. Or, no.
Blue Snaggletooth.
Blue Snaggletooth. Wow.
Yes, that came with the Sears Cantina Adventureland. It wasn't the Cantina playset. The plastic with the backdrop. It came with that little cardboardy thing that Sears put out. And they had really bad reference photos for Snaggletooth, as you can tell. he's almost like as tall as Luke.
He looks like the Gorn from Star Trek.
He's very Gorn-esque. He's like Gorn with a toupee. Yeah. Okay, I think I might cross into something there, and I don't mean any disrespect to any other
Gorn
captains.
With the wig?
Yeah.
Wasn't Gorn he with tiny?
Yeah, he was a little short, kind of pudgy, fire engine red kind of outfit, you know, with stripes. And there was actually two different reference photos, too. There was one from the wonderful, and I love it, and Matt bags on me all the time for this, the holiday special. Either geeks love it or hate it. And I love it because there was two amazing things. Well, three. You got to see what Kashyyyk looked like. All
right. Right.
Boba Fett, friend.
And remember, you could get Boba Fett before the second movie ever came out.
Yeah, because of the Boba Fett on...
You would send in clippings from your other...
The proof of purchases.
Proof of purchases, and they would send you a character that was going to be in the next movie, which was Boba Fett.
Yeah.
The first action figure from the second movie.
Mystery bounty hunter figure, I believe. And it had the firing
jetpack thing, yeah.
Which they had to discontinue because children were swallowing it, kind of.
It was actually a Battlestar Galactica toy. It was
the Viper,
and a child swallowed it and died.
I had the one that shot. That stopped halfway. And
I took mine apart. See, I took mine apart, and what it was they put a little bit on the projectile, and so I just shaved it off, and it worked.
Yeah, this is what happened. There was one year where all your cool toys, all your Shogun warriors, where like the missiles shot off the shoulders,
the missiles that fired out of the nipples,
Cylons, all the Vipers, and all that. There was one year where they kept them all, but they made them so that the missiles would just pop out of like a half an inch.
Yeah.
That's how they would fire.
Well, I have. Speaking of my collectibles and stuff, after years and years of like. Not buying Star Wars toys. I went through a big, I had to be an adult for a while, and that really sucked. And
that
so,
stopped.
Anyway, thanks. Anyway, thanks, buddy. But I wanted the original R2 with the firing saber that came out. And because it was during
that.
The time, it was Return of the Jedi. It was like the second wave of Jedi toys, and they were going to have it so... You like turned his head and it ping, but they still had the little. So when you turned his head, it just kind of like raises up like an antenna. It scopes up actually.
Oh.
And I bought one while Matt and I were working together, and I was making lots of money. Money was flowing like water. Yeah, and there was a toy store right next door. I have to mention Big Lou's Toys and Collectibles in Culver City. I'm not getting paid for this, but they
do have
they've got more of my paychecks than I ever did. I bought my R2 mint condition, still on card with the coin. It was like $200.
Yeah, there was one day where Tom goes, "You're gonna have to show up to work early," and I was like, "Why?
Come."
And so I show up to work early, and he goes, "All right. You don't have to be in makeup for 2 hours." And I was like, okay, so come on. And we hopped in his car, and he takes me over to this place that's just chock full of action figures and every
You should take us over there.
Back-ordered figure. It's crazy. It's down on Slauson.
And they
at that time, did you ever get into the Japanese toy, like Shogun, Micronauts? I don't know if that's
Micronauts, Micronauts were cool. And there was the one, the glow-in-the-dark Micronaut.
I don't remember.
He was limited and like special. Yeah, and it bummed me out because at the time I wasn't living in a major city. I had a little hiatus growing up as a child and lived in the middle of Missouri, actually, mm-hmm. in a small little town, 40 miles away from the nearest Walmart. It sucked. But, I mean, so action figures became my best friends. Because, like, you couldn't get too attached to animals because we'd probably, you know, end up having to kill them and eat them. So, you know, it was either talk to your action figures or, you know, talk to, you know, your sandwich.
I actually had the same thing. I grew up in the woods.
Okay,
and we were too poor to buy action figures. So we had a bucket of action figures that we got from Goodwill when I was a little kid. Yeah. That's why I had Micronauts, because they were really old at that point.
Oh, but now, Micronauts were cool.
But they were solid metal.
Yeah.
Like, you could pull...
They weren't solid metal. Damn heads and hands were damn plastic.
Yeah, but you know what? They're still weapons. And a toy that's a weapon is
that was awesome. That's, yeah, you could take
it's like
out
old
a
metal,
of those
metal
things.
Lunch boxes.
I
was going through my gear, and I found my old Marvel comic metal lunchbox. I mean, I'm like, God, I just wish some of the kids that I went to school with were here because I'd like to hit them upside the head with it. Just like, God, memories, you know, good times.
So
you know?
I actually, I actually played with action figures before Star Wars came out. Do you guys remember the Adventure People? Fisher Price came out with Adventure People, and these were... The same size of action figures.
And they had the shark. They had like a shark one.
They grouped them into categories. They had like marine adventure. So they had sharks and like underwater propel things.
They were like G.I. Joes, but for like a younger crowd or something.
Yeah, they were like G.I. Joes.
And they were less aggressive than G.I.
Joe. Yeah, no, nothing. They were all about, like, they had the ranger, they had the logger, they had the trucker, they had the a sea boat guy.
The Indian chief, the cop, the construction worker.
I liked the leather daddy the most, actually. I mean, he had really fun accessories.
But the funny thing is those came out like right before.
With removable chaps? I remember that.
Those came out right before Star Wars, so that was kind of my intro to the action figures.
Do you remember that Luke Skywalker's lightsaber was
the telescoping
inside his arm, and it would come. Yeah. You have to push it up, and it always broke. It was the one that always broke.
Now, the original ones actually telescoped a second part out. You had the wide part, and then that little skinny part actually telescoped out of that.
And then it just fused it together. And then they never changed the shape of it.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that?
And then they finally switched to, like, the little plastic, you know, blue or yellow Return of the Jedi sabers. And actually, Bespin Luke and Hoth Luke.
Hoth Luke had the one you can hold in your hand.
Yeah, and the Bespin Luke did too. He didn't, because he had a gun accessory too.
Oh, right. He was the coolest Luke anyway.
Yeah, I wish he would do another Bespin Luke with the new series that wasn't all banged up.
Yeah, but like all the new, when they re-released all of
now
the
that's
old
a 96,
Star Wars.
97 when they
everybody
the
was
Roy buff.
Muscular.
Yeah, they were that all on roids.
That
yeah.
was the dumbest. Whoever designed that. You didn't design those, did you?
No, God, no.
Whoever designed that.
If I did, I'd take my punishment. I mean,
it's like, it was like a junior, like a junior high kid designed that. It was like,
wouldn't it be cool if he was like muscular?
Yeah. And it's like,
when did they come out?
96.
Oh,
so that's when Marvel Comics was hitting its roids phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody was
everything that was targeted for kids probably tried to
It was idiotic.
It was very West Hollywood. It was like West Hollywood Luke, West Hollywood Han. Oh. It was Berkeley Leia.
I was wondering about the Birkenstocks.
Yeah, that was, oh man, that was like, yeah, her accessory was like, you know, like five cats.
Right. Okay, so.
Oh my God, I think we just lost Matt.
Doesn't Don always say that? You say that exactly. I think we just lost Matt. Yeah. It was exact word. That was weird.
So the three movies came out, and you continued to collect as they came out.
Yes.
So then the dark years came.
The dark years of.
So what happened then?
Oh God. I was such an alternative young man.
There was no Star Wars for a long time.
Yeah, this is like therapy. Because after Star Wars, and during actually, you know, it's weird with my age group. Star Wars was one of those situations where timely. The 1977 one, I was still, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and had, like, a beam of light in me. And then, you know, I was a teenager when Empire struck, and I was like, yeah, Dark Side. Yeah, I was like, it's like the goth kids on South Park. Yeah, we just dance in our room and smoke, you know, when no one's around. Yeah. It's like, you know, and it was like, yeah, there's just no future. Yeah, and then when Return came out, I was one of those people who really lost it. I was like, the Emperor should have, like, you know, they should have overthrew the Emperor, and Luke could have, you know, like, you know, been the new Vader, and Vader could have had his place ruling the, you know, the whole thing. And
so you
I
had
don't
a different
know.
Take on that.
I hated the Ewoks and stuff, and now as an adult, I'm
the
like,
Ewoks.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, the Ewoks were a terrible mistake. The original idea was to make them Chewbacca's.
Right? Yeah, you know, the thing is now
them.
as an adult, and have had my years of bitterness and working in the film industry.
Do not go over to the other side.
No, I have went to the other side. I'm like, any spark of happiness, any little gingerbread I can get out of life right now. And if it's a bloody, you know, little person in a furry costume, jubbing away, you know.
You'll take it.
You know what?
Jubbing away.
It just makes me happy and just it makes the sorrow go away.
Yeah,
but
Tom
anyway,
would
I'm a very disturbed person right
Tom
now.
Tom would talk about the first three movies, and he'd be like, oh my God. And I would just go on a rant. For like a good half hour.
No, we're talking about the original movie.
Right, okay,
now.
Okay, sorry,
okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Stop jumping 20 years.
I'm sorry.
And Matt's Mr. Darkseid. He comes off all like, you know.
What?
Yeah, he's Mr. Darkseid. Yeah, he.
This was a good conversation. So what did you do during the years that there were no Star Wars? Were you able to collect, or did you just leave alone?
I just kind of pretty much put him aside for getting, at the time. For you younger listeners, we had something back in the day called vinyl albums, records, and they were on turntables. You might see them at like raves and stuff, and they put these pieces of plastic on, and they go, fuff, 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 fuff. Anyway, if you let them play, you actually hear music. And so, you know, I really got into the Clash, and I, you know, started getting into like political stuff, X-ray specs, and God, the Exploited, and of course, you know, Susie and the Banshees.
What was that band you were talking about that you liked?
Who? X-ray specs?
No. You're talking about them earlier.
Oh, the new band. Yeah. There's this new band out I was mentioning earlier, Kasabian. If you don't know who they are, I suggest find out and buy. And I would totally.
And they're geeks, right?
Yeah, they're Star Wars fans. In fact, the last Star Wars Insider I got since I subscribed, the lead singer's wearing like this I think it's like a Darth Vader Lives T-shirt or something. And
That's funny.
And one of the things that got me when I was reading like you know the names of the guys in the band and you know who does what and whatnot and the lyrics and everything. One of them, their last name is Karloff, and it's just an unusual name, and they're from England, and Boris Karloff was from London, I believe, outside of London.
Anyway, we should Wikipedia it.
Yeah, we should find out
whether
or
not he's related.
Yeah, he's got to be like a nephew or something.
So during the 20 years, did you start collecting Star Trek stuff? Or
I actually just started like getting into music. So you left it behind. I left my toys behind, and then I started really getting back into it because I started meeting other people who were, you know, geeks like me. Mm-hmm. So I'm told I'm a geek. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. You're
and,
not.
And,
completely not.
Yeah. And so once I started back in, and I started getting some cash in my life.
That helps helps geeks with cash, like game geek. Collecting, mm-hmm. video collecting,
yeah.
all this stuff.
It's not
spendy.
Cheap.
No.
No.
Yeah, I really started, you know, Star Trek Next Generation came about, and I was like, yeah.
So we can edit that. You did start collecting other things like Star Trek stuff
yes,
and all that.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I ended up working on this little movie called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And,
so you,
yeah.
you worked on the movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm old, eh? And so the prop guy on the show is a really good friend of mine. And we had so many different things going on the show and stuff like that. But, I mean, I have leftover ears, you know, like prosthetic ears, because back then the vampires had ears and no foreheads. and then, you know, when they went to the series, they got foreheads and no ears. I think they should have had ears and foreheads. But, you know, some of them did. I don't know. But anyway, so I met a lot of geeks, and this buddy of mine who was a prop guy on the show, it's just, he was a geek in a different way about, like, odd collectibles, kind of kitschy, kind of like 50s, kind of bizarre. Then I went on to another show, a little television series called Space Rangers. Very few people actually remembered. I actually ran into somebody who I had no idea would even have got it. They're like, "Oh my god, I love that show!" And I'm like, "You remember
that?"
Wasn't
the commander of that show like a little tiny woman?
Linda Hunt.
Yeah, Linda Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
my
totally
God.
Remember.
Can I even
that.
Tell you what an honor it was to meet her? Because she just did
She's
that.
She's amazing.
Broke Down Palace, was it?
Yes.
Oh, God. And won an Academy Award.
Yes. You're Living Dangerously.
I remember that's her showing up in that show and wondering, what are you doing on a sci-fi show like this?
Oh, just such a wickedly cool lady. And she's so amazing. I was just like, you know, Academy Award. Whatever.
I totally remember that. What? I can't remember the show, though.
I remember half an episode.
One of her, we had one of her commanders, and I can't, please forgive me, the one actress who, she went on to Babylon 5. Brunette?
Mira Furlan?
Big, beautiful brown eyes. Her hair on Babylon 5 was pulled back really flat.
Susan Ivanova.
She was in
Claudia Christian. Claudia Christian?
Yes. Yeah. And
she rocks.
Yeah. And, you know, it was really cool working with her. And I remember we had an episode with these bugs, these really big, like, centipede things. And that was a way of actually torturing a person. It was kind of the they put things in our ears, kept them, you know, that kind of
con bugs.
Yeah, they were like, but you know, they're instead of like these cool little, like, you know, scorpion looking, they're these really wicked real bugs, and they were probably a good, I don't know, 10 inches long or something. They were huge, and they're like round. They're like big sausages, and they put them in this plexi tube up to the guy's nose, and it was supposed to slowly crawl for like the dramatic whatever, and it slid down. Anyway, how we got to, you know, from toys to this, but I was on that, and I was working with a friend of mine, Ed French, and Ed French had a box of prosthetics. And I've got to say this discreetly, without getting anyone in trouble about anything, but he also did another show, and some of the prosthetics looked like stuff from this other show he did, which was Star Trek's Six Undiscovered Country, which is one of my favorite Star Treks ever. Yeah. And I was like, this is so cool. And he designed the guy that Kirk kicks in the knee. Not all beings keep their genitals in the same place or whatever, anyway. And I was like, God, it would be so cool to work on Trek. I mean, but I probably will never get to. About 3 months later, I get a phone call. This is a Jeannie from Mike Westmore's office over here at Paramount. Are you available to come in tomorrow? And I was like, and I'm driving, and I just answered my cell phone, and I'm like, hang on a second. Let me pull over. I mean, I was dizzy. I felt like somebody was strangling me. I was like, you know, and
did you show up in your Star Trek uniform?
Oh, I was warned not to. No. Anyway, no. It's weird. I was told they don't like fans on this show, buddy. So just, you know, if you know anything about Star Trek, pretend you don't. And you know what? After, you know, getting to work with Mike Westmore, who I just saw today, and it would love to join you guys at a future time. And I'm going to give you his phone number, his home number. He's like, give him my home number. And I'm like, cool, okay. So, but, you know, meeting Mike, my granddad worked with Mike on Capricorn 1.
Wow.
Yeah. My granddad, like, you know, built some stuff and, like, painted some stuff for that, and they were out on location. And anyway, so Mike and I were talking, and so there's this whole, like, connection between, like, my family and the Westmore family, this and that. You know, like, they, you know, rubbed elbows a few times on different shows. And I, you know, Mike just gave me such an opportunity to work on the show and to bring ideas out and just just really have a good time. And anyway,
what was the first thing you got to design on Star Trek?
Wow, well, they're all designs from Mike Westmore. He would give us an idea, and he was so great about giving credit to us and stuff, and he was so appreciative. I mean, sometimes he was juggling like three different shows at same time, like DS9, Next Generation, and the first Next Generation movie. He was juggling all three of those and designing for all three. It was, you know, I don't know. It's hard enough just doing one show, but one of the first things I think Mike threw at me to do, was sculpting like Bajoran noses, and then we went to Klingon noses and stuff. But like adding our twist to them, mm-hmm. because you know they already had like so many designs that were seen so many times. Mm-hmm. It just, all right, let's do this, let's go that way, and then he kind of took me off sculpting because you know my speed wasn't up to snuff. Now painting, that's where I excelled, and I could kick out like you know a big paint job on a big head alien in you know a couple hours, where other people would take like 3 days maybe to you know paint something leisurely, you know, and it's just painting is where I excel, and it was fun, and it was very you know different techniques, and it was a lot of fun. But one of the benefits of being on Paramount lot at the time I was there, the Paramount store mm-hmm. had Trek figures, mm. and they had the bridge play set, and they had all this great Trek.
And you
crap.
Get the discount.
I got my discount, and I was like the only person in the store buying stuff. Once in a while, I would run into another person, like a page or like you know some like writer from another show or something coming up, and I'd you know be bumping elbows as we're both reaching for the Lwaxana Troi action figure, and it's like I saw it first, you know. And it's like here's the page. Anyway, and then the Star Trek battle music would start up. No, anyway, but it was so great, and I ended up getting to do a couple promo things that Mike had me do, and the promos department the lady at the time who was heading that was allowed. They had the big back room, and she was allowed to like give me a couple things. In fact, that's where I got my Enterprise, Next Generation Enterprise playset. It was like 50 bucks or something. She's like, "You don't have that?" And I'm like, "No, I don't have it." And she went, and I said, "That it's like 50 bucks. I can't afford that." Or it's like, maybe it was 80 bucks. I don't know. It was like a lot of money. It's like groceries or a playset. And I was living in LA at the time, and it was expensive apartment, whatever. Anyway, and she went back. She's like, "Wait here." And she came back and she gave it to me. I was like, it was like the best birthday I'd ever had, you know, and it wasn't my birthday at the time, but it you know it makes up for all the bad birthdays I've had.
Right. So I mean, you know, Star Wars again has ended. Star Trek is, we don't know if it's ended. What's going on? So what is there now to collect for you? I mean, I know the animated series, Star Wars, the new stand up things are hot right now. I've seen some of those. They freaking look awesome. A little spindy. But what do you...
Well, model kits have come back. And if anyone listening to this has anything to do with, like, the model kits being reissued and stuff, just keep them coming. They've got some new stuff from Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. Like Jedi Starfighters and stuff.
Well, you and I are talking about, because I'm wanting to order an Enterprise with a light kit, because I don't want to wire the whole thing myself, and we were talking about that. And so do you like building models as well?
See, when I used to live in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and I'd be snowed in this little town, it was called Steelville, anyway, and I lived out in the woods, and we'd get snow days. Any of you in the Midwest know snow days?
I was stuck in Idaho in a small town.
We're in Idaho.
Twin Falls, Idaho.
I lived in Twin Falls.
No, you did.
Yeah, I did. It's by Kimberly. Yeah.
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 Twin Falls High School. I went to Twin Falls High School.
I went to the Lutheran school, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's only 30,000 people in that damn town.
Oh, my God. That's really hilarious.
Yeah, so I would sit there and, you know, paint. Oh. I would do my Star Trek models. And
I'd go hooky bobbing, too.
Hooky bobbing?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you grab on the back of a car.
Yeah,
and you,
a truck.
Truck on
which
the...
is really, yeah. And then you dig your heels in the ice because we'd have like 4 inches of ice
built
up on the... we're not joking. When it's 4 inches of ice on the road. And this was fun, but you'd have to do it when, like, no one, you know, like in the middle of the night and stuff, when no one could catch you because it was illegal.
Yeah,
you know, because too many people were doing it and sliding and getting tore up. And
maybe some of the best modelers and stuff come from these places, because you're right. I mean, I would literally sit in my kitchen and, you know, in the background for 3 days because you couldn't leave the house, and I would paint my models, and I would do it for 8 hours a day because there was nothing else
and
to do.
Collect all the great books that had any reference photo of what an AT-AT looked like.
Right.
I mean, they reissued the AT-ATs, and I bought a case of them. And one of them...
One with the little snow speeder, the little mini snow speeders.
Yeah, okay. this is how horrible I am. I've taken one, I cut out the front part of the cockpit, right? Mm-hmm. That little, you know, that kind of animal-looking head on it. And I've thickened the plastic with some epoxy clay.
Mm-hmm.
I built little seats in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sculpting. I'm not done. I've got, like, legs and arms to do. You'll never see this detail. But little miniature AT-AT drivers. And then I have to do the commanding officer. And I'm going to have lights in it with a red visor. Okay? Mm. And then, if you remember... Endor, you had your AT-AT that was like delivering loot.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It had underneath where the chin guns were running lights because it was nighttime on Endor.
Right.
And to get through those forests, you have to have some kind of headlights, right? So I'm going to have it so you can turn it on for just night. The red, you know, the red visor mm-hmm. lit up like on Hoth. For the one scene, you see the one and you could see the guys in the back, right? You could mm-hmm. see the visor and you see like these two little people driving it. And then you could have the indoor AT-AT with the red and the chin guns.
Okay, I'm going to brag about one of my models. when I was younger, I built an AT-AT. I did a little diorama, not with a backdrop, but just a scene in the snow.
Oh.
And then I took one of the snow speeders and I hooked a wire around it to it and then wrapped it around its legs so it looked like the rope, but held up the snow speeder, so it looked like it was zooming off.
I'm gonna steal that idea.
So, and then I had a crashed one there, like it was ready to get what's his face. So I had that sitting in my house, and I had moved to Virginia, right near Washington D.C. And my dad, who works for the government, had some guy over who worked at the Smithsonian, and he saw the model and said, "Hey, we're doing a sci-fi thing in like 3 months, and we're going to sell all sorts of stuff. And in our, I would love to put that model in the Smithsonian."
No way.
We couldn't get a hold of the guy after that. Like he left and we just never. And then my mom dusted in quotes and knocked the hell out of the. So it's gone. But yeah, I almost got a model in the Smithsonian.
Moms, the great destroyers of collectibles.
Oh yeah, yes. Oh yeah. Yes. My mom destroyed my Hoth playset big time, big time.
Tom, don't you have pictures?
Yes, I actually have.
We should tell you that Don has the great horror story of moms destroying things. She would take his collections and give them away. Can you imagine coming home and like you've got your boxes of stuff and suddenly, oh yeah, I just donated them to Goodwill. You don't mind, do you?
Wow.
All right. So Tom,
What do they call that? Petricide?
So Tom has not only done up his Star Wars figures, and I think you've designed a few extra action figures.
I did. And then a couple of them that I sculpted because I'm like, oh, they'll never come out with that one. I sculpted. I don't know if you can see it in one of the pictures here, but the R1 reactor droid. It was they had one in Episode 1, but originally in Episode 4, A New Hope. It was that tall, weird looking cappuccino looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like blue with orange detailing.
Yeah.
It just It was a coffee maker, and it was set out there, and you're like, what the hell is that? And it was like, anyway, they call it an R1 reactor droid, but it was an early
Astromech.
Was
that Astromech. The one in on Tatooine. Yeah, it had like the multiple things.
Oh, no, that was a treadwell.
That was a treadwell.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Of course you know.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other great thing about action figures is it taught us all the names of the characters that weren't mentioned.
Right.
Like IG-88.
Yeah.
Was that even mentioned?
No.
Bossk, IG-88,
okay. Yeah.
Oh,
so no. Now what Tom's done, and when I went over and saw this, he's built dioramas.
You can see
like,
right above Han.
There's a Tatooine diorama with all of the action figures that belong on Tatooine in that diorama. There's a
I'm seeing diorama. The layer of Jabba the Hutt that he's built with lights and everything with the action figures. Now, okay, so you have your rompus, what we call the rompus room, which is the room that you can play in without anyone like giving
Tom,
you
Tom ain't playing
or,
around.
We have the
Sarlacc pit. Sarlacc. I built a Sarlacc, and the thing is, there's armatures in its tendrils. It's and it's actually holding those action figures up. I don't have a dead on of the. Of it, but you guys will eventually have to make it out to the desert when I get my house fixed up. But I'm going through a lot of water damage and nightmare crap, you know, adult stuff.
Damn it.
Boring. Ooh. But I even have like Jeez. Rows and rows of teeth, thorny teeth down its throat and a tongue.
Where did you get the sand skiff?
Oh, they re-released the skiff actually with a really kick-ass paint job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, you have the whole.
Crazy.
Now,
you're still crazy?
Okay, so your house has got to be filled with this.
It's taken over my toy room. I thought it was going to be rumpus room. I thought it was going to just be able to be contained there. And I'm like, oh, no.
Now we have.
I have like my big collectibles outside, the more expensive, pricey,
right.
You know.
Now, we do have friends who are also collectors who have them all around the house. Lisa is one of our friends who collects all sorts of stuff.
You've really got to meet Lisa. I think you guys will hit it off.
Now, they have experienced problems and or maybe not problems, but just various reactions from people visiting, including
romantic
interludes and stuff. Have you
ever screwed up a romantic interlude by showing them you're geek too fast?
They walk into the house and go, holy crap. Well,
it wasn't a romantic interlude, but I did a little film a while ago. It was like 99 or something, and the cast were so wonderful. I wanted to repay him for just like, you know, being covered in blood. It was this little horror film. I should mention it because Dave Parker, who wrote it with Paul Salamoffa, two old friends of mine who I haven't seen in years. But I mean, they're just adorable. And they did this fun little full moon project called The Dead Hate the Living. We had like 13 gallons of blood.
Which I saw.
Yeah. Okay, let's not be mean because they're my friends. Anyway. No, but it was fun.
Thanks for coming on to our show. I shall not mention the fact that I've seen it again.
Okay. No, what's really interesting, though, is that, you know, we paid a lot of homage to a bunch of things, you know, based our careers on and stuff, and I had the honor of working with my this other man I like to call a friend, Kenny Myers. He brought me on when I was very very young and very very green onto Return of the Living Dead 2, and I wanted to kind of pay back for the big yellow cadaver from the first movie, and Dave agreed with me. We're like, yeah, let's do that yellow cadaver look, you know, for that they had. And the guy, they cut his head off, and his headless body is running through. You need a medical supply, you know. And the head's just like, ah. So yeah, there's a lot of little things like that that we did, you know. But
the cast came over and you freaked them out.
They came over, and one of the cast members actually walked into. At this time, it was all contained in the one room, and he's like looking around, going, "Oh, so did you bring us up here to kill us?"
what is your drive to collect? Like, what is the joy you get from it? What can you describe that in any way?
Well, I had a little period this last year where it's like, I'm not going to collect anymore. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just too much to deal with. You know, it's like building the shelves and, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of burnt out. But it was just, I think it was just a big burnout, you know, from just work and everything and government. And, but yeah, what I get out of it is.
You actually go in and play, though, don't you?
Not really.
No, you just stare.
I build
all of it, and then you know, arranging everything. It's a whole menagerie, I guess you would say. You know, but the thing about, and then you dusting. That's very discouraging.
Hey, stay away from my at, man.
Oh God, let me tell you. You know, but you know, it's constant upkeep. Once in a great while,
You know what works really well?
Hmm.
Just park an air filter in the middle of that room. You'll never have to dust again.
Yeah. He's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a cheap $60 one, just run it at low constantly in the room. You'll never have to dust again.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, okay. that's on the agenda then. Once in a great while, my cat gets in the room.
Oh, no.
Oh. But she pretty much knows... After a couple times of being, you know, I don't want to go to jail for animal cruelty or anything.
But that was an ass whooping.
No, it was a yelling at. You know, my cat knows that,
not to run off with Boba Fett again.
Yeah, and like getting like she, I have the Yoda, it's like the 8-ball, the magic 8-ball, and it's this talking Yoda. And you can ask it questions and stuff, and it trains you how to be a Jedi, and it tells you the story from like episode 1 to. 6, and it just, it's scary listening to Yoda tell episode 3.
Is it any less boring?
You know what? It's like farm reports on NPR. You know what though? I also have to think, if I was, you know, if I would have got a toy like this in 1980, I you know, that would have been it. That, you know, I could have, you know, climbed to the roof and jumped off and been, you know,
happy.
Yeah. So it's like a Yoda Ruxpin?
Yeah.
Yoda Ruxpin.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you and I be friends?
So, I mean, part of the show is we're trying to help geeks understand other geeks.
Yeah, well,
communication.
What I get out of collecting is, you know, when I got jaded, didn't I, Matt?
You did.
Yeah, I was
a while,
really jaded.
Really,
I wasn't
jaded.
A very happy person. Yeah. I started this wonderful project with, I thought, you know, a wonderful group of people. Let me tell you, the actors, most of the crew, and the producers were so bloody wonderful, and the directors all loved me.
Yeah.
And then it just started getting stupid, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, and then I ended up like being in my own little world, and I couldn't even be safe there. But you know what? This is a safe place. You know, I can go to Tatooine and walk into, you know, Shalom's Cantina, and you know, just be anonymous.
I didn't know the owner's freaking name.
Know,
where'd you
I,
get that?
You know, and actually, you know, it's instead of going there when Wooer is there, I like going in the evenings when Akmina is running the place. And that's one of my favorite. All right, if anyone from Hasbro is out there, we need an Akmina action figure. I will buy 10 of them.
So ten that's going to be
okay.
Blocked.
I will buy a 12-inch Akmina action figure and track down Beatrice Arthur, who played Akmina, and have her sign it.
B. Arthur?
Yes, B. Arthur.
In the film?
And
Golden Girls, B. Arthur.
Maud B. Arthur.
Maud.
Yes.
Was in Star Wars.
She was in Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
And she did a song, and she was singing to the Walrus Man and something. It was brilliant. And
Jefferson
Harvey Korman.
Starship and is in that. Damn.
Yeah.
I need
Korman.
To see this.
I have it on VHS.
It has Wookiees vacuuming. That was the end.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not watching it until we get into the Christmas season.
No.
Okay. Oh, it's Life Day. You know, and Life Day is actually after Christmas.
Life Day is the holiday that the Wookiees are celebrating, not Christmas.
Yes, it makes you want to bang your head against something sharp.
It's
I don't
more
care.
Like
it's the holiday
Easter.
Special.
It's
I'm waiting.
It's more Easter than Christmas. That's what I've always got. And every Wookiee I've ever known is related it more of a Easter kind of holiday.
Hey, do you have any collectibles from any of the other, like, what was that speedy little fast guy that was in the indoor special?
Oh, yeah, I actually... as an adult, and when I was working with Matt, no. I don't remember his name. Oh God,
Widget.
I, you know, I
like Widget, wasn't it?
No, Widget's the name of the Ewok.
Yeah.
No, I think it was Widget, wasn't it?
No, Widget's the name of the Ewok.
Widget's
Wicket. The main... Wicket, you're right, yeah. Wicket
was the Yeah, Ewok. And anyway...
The facile...
Yeah, I know. And he had, like, the big floppy ears and, like, the buck teeth. And and Wilford Brimley and him were friends.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
See, they need a Wilford Brimley figure. And then...
I forgot
Wookie Brimley.
Wow. Okay. Freaking Art Carney is in
Art Carney and Harvey Korman. See, they need to have action figures. You know what? First of all, Wilford Brimley could use the residuals. I'm sure Beatrice Arthur could. It's like, for God's sakes, Wilford Brimley's a diabetic. My mother's a diabetic. It's like, diabetes runs in my family. I'm scared to death of diabetes. It's like
they
these
should have
people,
the diabetes figure. All proceeds go to...
Exactly. See?
All $5 will go straight
all
to...
All $5.
Wait, yeah. I would buy Wilford Brimley.
That would have to be a two-per pack. And I would want B. Arthur and Wilford Brimley in the same pack.
Well, it would actually have to be Harvey Korman and Beatrice Arthur because they were on the holiday special. But the Ewok special...
And you could do the three-pack with Art Carney.
With Art Carney.
It does beg the question, is there a B. Arthur action figure somewhere out there already?
Golden Girl?
You know what?
Is there a Golden Girl?
I don't know.
You know what? I'm sure at this one store I know of on the west side of Hollywood, there's got to be a Golden Girl's
I would
like
buy that.
Barbies.
I would buy
there's
all four.
There's got to be like some
I would
some
set them up on
like,
my desk at work.
Yeah.
I totally would.
Oh, God. But so, like the little Sophia. They need like a speak and say Sophia Petrillo or something like that.
Well, before we end this thing, I think you touched upon something that I believe is the reason why we collect, because before we end it, I want to talk about things that we really love. But I think that part of the reasons why geeks collect is because for a moment you're in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not playing with it like you were a kid, obviously you've got the model. You're sitting there building the model. You're part of the universe for a moment.
Yep.
You know. Let's talk about some of the things we have here. I mean. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and, you know, these aren't original props or anything. I've got communicators here. Why did I buy these things? I have no clue. I don't do anything with this. But when I purchase it and when I'm holding my hand for a brief millisecond, I'm part of. I have the deck plans of the Enterprise. You know, this is original deck plans.
That kicks ass. That is so cool.
And, you know, I sit there and look at it, and even when I'm searching through finding the bathrooms – of, you know, where the closest bathroom to the bridge is, for a moment, I'm like, okay, it's real in my world. There are bathrooms on the frickin' Enterprise.
You know, and I've got all these...
Why am I totally picturing Sulu banging on a bathroom door?
Phaser 1, Phaser 2,
this
that comes
phaser,
apart. Is
it does not.
I got the... You know what? I have two of the ones that come apart.
Oh, shit. How do I get those?
I don't know if you still can find them, but
I had
you
the,
know what?
I had the model when I was...
Aaron looks like a four-year-old.
If you want... I have two of them.
We'll barter.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. So,
and then before we move on to your toys, I got the new Razer. This is my cell phone here.
Of course,
not a toy per se.
Kind of a toy.
You can download different things and check out
mom badge. That will be nice.
Check out my ringtone. So now I've got a real communicator.
It really looks like one.
That's
really
hysterical.
It does. In fact, it has a. You can download all sorts of Trek things.
You silly.
See, I used to have the Trek theme on one of my cell phones. I almost said communicator. And when Matt would call, his personal
ringer
was a Star Trek theme, and it was original.
Wow.
Theme.
Oh, very cool.
All right. So what's some of your toys that you really treasure? You've got one in your lap is pretty cool.
Well, this one, too, the Blue Snaggletooth. Also, the EV-99, the torture droid.
The flying one.
Okay.
No, the torture droid. Which one?
From Return of the Jedi.
Not the one that
the
floats.
No, it was the one
Han
was like
Solo one.
Yeah,
that
no,
one?
No. It's Return of the Jedi, and it's like I am C-3PO. Yes, will do. She's like copper and The original one, the original toy for that actually had the weirdest little movement. The back of its head had a little thingy out of it, and you like pressed it,
kind of like a nutcracker.
Well, yeah, it was like a nutcracker thing. Its mouth opened and closed, and it's wicked, and it's something really disturbing about it. That one was one of the hardest figures for me to ever find.
I think I had it, but it didn't have that on. It was like all silver.
Yeah. No, kind of a bronzy, like a deep bronzy, like brown, like 1970s, like metallic brown van color.
Yeah. No, I had this pure silver one that looked like a bug.
Bug. That's the Death Star droid.
Oh, Death Star droid.
Yeah. Oh. Real quick, out of the new collection, you can only see the back of that creature's head. Feltapern Trevog, Trevog. That two-coned head, like, soft
thing?
Yeah, it's odd.
What, the Jedi?
No. It was from the Cantina. It was one of Rick Baker's. It was like one of Rick Baker's guys. But I'm so glad that they've come out with another one of my favorite characters is Mantis, that praying mantis creature. This is part of Hoth Echo Base. That's Luke in a diaper, which is like a really cool figure.
You can actually get Luke in the
Bacta tank.
In the
There's General Madine.
Damn it! And I didn't know they made those.
Oh, here's a figure that I repainted.
This is nuts.
This is an R5 unit that I repainted, and then they came out with it. But my antenna is better. Okay.
So we're going to try to scan these in so you can see his collection here.
Here's the Emperor's Arrival.
Oh, you've got all the troopers. Those snow troopers were awesome. I'm sorry.
The snow troop. A friend of mine in New York years ago flew me back to...
these look like they've got layered dust on your little...
Yeah, I know. I didn't dust before I took the photos. That's Anakin winning the...
Pod race.
Now... A friend of mine back in New York flew me back to see the exhibit in Brooklyn at the Museum of Art. It was the Lucas exhibit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Took photos. And it was so great, like, for me building models to actually get up close and check stuff out and see, that color. And one of my favorite ships, the TIE Bomber, they finally came out with a big TIE Bomber with a pilot. And it drops these bombs, and they're clear with, like, this day-glow red interior. And if you have a black light on, they're, like, glowing. It's so cool. I do play. I actually play with the ships. I should say that. And it's not so much the figures as much as the ships. The ships are a lot of fun to, you know. Just
one of the things I wish I still had was
Dagobah.
I had a Enterprise back in the 80s that you could reconfigure. You had slotted warp nozzle, warp engines, and you could take the saucer off and attach the warp engines to the saucer and reconfigure everything.
No way!
And then it had electronics, so it would have the warp sound and the torpedo sound, and I don't know where that went, but it was
okay, wait a second, Tom. You have a Dagobah with an ethereal Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
I didn't know they made an ethereal Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah. I've got the... I also have the... It was the Spirit of Anakin, Spirit of Obi-Wan, and Spirit of Yoda, and it was a special three-pack collection that came out, and they're like on this wooden like logged board thing with the backdrop of Endor for that final scene.
This is cuckoo crazy.
By the way, have you seen the anime? Have you seen the anime figurines that are we saw them at Comic-Con this year, and they are really awesome.
I've seen the Vader, and
The Princess Leia, the Yoda, and like General Grievous.
They have a life size Yoda. It's about this big.
Oh, really?
And this,
from the animated series.
And he's all, you know, he's got that look and everything.
Yeah. You should check them out. You can buy them now. But I think you buy them from these guys.
Master Replicas?
Maybe not. But yeah, we should wrap this up. But you should definitely check them out. This guy at work has been buying them, and I have to say, even though they're like $150,
oh my god,
they are
amazing.
What's the
name of this creature, Ta?
Wampa.
You're crazy, man.
That's a Wampa's cave.
You are truly.
And yeah, we got to get those on. Yeah.
See, I didn't show you outside of the Wampa's cave. I actually have Han on his tauntaun coming up to rescue Luke, who's got his hand stretched out on a snowdrift with another ethereal Obi-Wan.
So funny. All right, do we have anything else to cover on? We're going to have to invite you back. We've got to do a horror series and makeup series because we've obviously got a lot to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
I mean, it really... keeps me off the streets.
We didn't even get to our lightsabers. I have the one I built here, and you've got your double. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Wave it around.
The master replica one there.
Yeah, Tom bought me a Vader lightsaber.
In fact, it was here that the party was. You should have just said where my birthday was.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, very cool, and we will definitely have you back. Actually, we should have you back a couple times.
Exactly. Dude, we got a lot to cover.
Oh, dear.
Cool. Do we have any other geek links or anything?
I have one quick geek link. This is a game I vaguely remember from like 10 years ago, so I don't know why it popped up again all of a sudden. But you can play it for free online. It's 3D Tetris. You're looking down a well from the top, and you're dropping three-dimensional pieces down the well.
Because the original one wasn't hard enough.
It's. I played it briefly earlier today. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
And I recommend giving it a shot. Just to try it out.
All right. Wow. I got a few links. First of all, there's a couple of links online. You can go see Watchmen, the comic, as if Stan Lee wrote it.
Oh, no.
Weird.
It's bloody hilarious.
All right.
I mean, watching this sort of dirty, earthy comic rewritten is sort of, hey, let's go get the commies, you know, kind of thing. It's crazy. There's another thing that I found called the Institute for the Future, which is an independent nonprofit research group. They work with organizations of all kinds to make them better, more informed decisions about the future. They have the coolest pictures of what things, you know, what our thoughts were in the 1970s, what like air travel would be or whatever. But they constantly are figuring out totally jets and stuff. It's really interesting. And finally, in honor of Tom, found action figures of people fleeing from horror movies. You can buy these in a pack. It's the horrified B-movie victims set.
Oh, that's cool.
It's about
they're
as
recognizable, too.
Yeah, they're recognizable. It's about as meta as an action figure can go without actually making action figures of action figures, you know, that
some
play
of these
with
new
figures.
Action figures, like resin action figures, look like shrunken humans.
Have you
they
seen
are so
the Star
lost,
Wars ones.
Have you seen the lost ones?
No.
It's like they freaking Honey, I Shrunk the Cast. It looks like the real humans sitting there. It's
that's
kind
of creepy.
Think about new Star Wars.
They have the Star Wars. They're like 12-inch series from. Oh God.
Maybe
I can't think of the name.
Maybe
you
can send a link to us and we'll post
it. Yeah, I can't think of the name of the company. God. But it's not Hasbro and God, I wish I could.
But they actually look
like
the actors.
Sideshow, I think maybe. I think it's Sideshow that's doing. Okay. Their fingers. Oh my God, their fingers move and they have a 12-inch format Jabba coming out. So he's about
2-3 feet.
Yeah, on the base. The base is like 20 inches or something, they said. And then the job is like 18 inches long or something. It's just
that's going
to
be
and
cheap.
And I have to get it.
That's going to be cheap.
Let's make George Lucas rich.
No, it was only like $58 or something. And it comes with wall cabochite or cabochet. Or that weird little snail thing on the wall that licks C-3PO.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, dear. Anyway. Oh, the horror.
Okay, I've got two. One which we posted like our first episode, but it just seems a fit. One of the sites that helped me build lightsaber here, it's a site that gives you instructions on how to build a lightsaber just by going to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yes, I've been trying to build it, Tom. I picked the hardest one on the list.
Well, now that I have a Dremel tool, I'm gonna get more advanced. This is my first one, but it's got rubber handles and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty good for a first try. This comes off because this was in an actual battle, so this actually comes off if you don't want the. I had to paint in the obviously the light, but
I want to know what this part is.
We'll talk to Aaron about your idea afterwards.
So anyway, I'll put that link, and then there's a chess website that is amazing. It's everything you want to know about chess, but they have a great tutorial that starts from the basics, like what is a pawn, to all the strategies that you've heard of. It's awesome website, and I'll post that
totally
link too.
That
that's kind of wicked.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool. Excellent. Anything else?
Just our
little bit.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that. I didn't do one.
Our bit this week is as astronomers have finally decided on whether or not Pluto is a planet, Pluto is gone. So what we have done this week is we have opened the door, write a poem, a limerick, a haiku, whatever you feel like writing, to bid adieu to Pluto, to send it off in the finest style.
Yeah, so he'll be back another 10 years.
Yeah. I hope so. I like the,
maybe sooner.
Here's my haiku. Pluto the dog rock, cast down by night watchers, still loved in child's heart.
That's nice. That's sweet. That's very sweet. That's
very good.
Very, very good.
I did one called Google Tree, and Google Tree is an actual new type of poetry that my dad invented. It's very Warholian, because you're taking other people's stuff and turning it into your own stuff.
Okay.
Basically, you type in a phrase into Google, and you use a phrase either before that phrase or after that phrase to form your poetry. Right?
Wow.
So the phrase that I used was, Pluto is gone. And then I took Google and found out what their reaction and turned it into a poem.
Okay.
All right. So this is the Google Tree poem. Just like a dream, Pluto is gone. Gone, kaput, pulled. Are they nuts? Demoted from planethood because of his erratic nature. Pluto is gone. Pluto is gone. Mickey, very depressed. Beloved by some as a cosmic underdog, a mnemonic is gone. My very educated mother just served us 9... Pluto is gone. Gone in the middle of the third term. How will we survive without the 9th house? Guess I'll have to go back to biorhythms. Gone the way of the 8-track, the vinyl record, and beta videotapes. Demoted, denied, and a dwarf. The not-quite-planet, the orb that was left back. Pluto is gone. Don't hate on Pluto. I bet they took it out because Pluto is a black planet. Pluto, be gone. Ice-crusted orbital massive mixture of lameness. Pluto is gone. Who cares about Charon and Nix? We lost a planet in the matter of a moment. Some space, please.
Mm. Yay!
I love Google Tree.
We should be, like, snapping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put that to, like, a beatnik.
Oh, God.
Doom, 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 doom.
I could just see those guys from the app, not the Apple, but the Eden, the Way to Eden episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because we can't go out on a brainy moment. A limerick to say goodbye. There once was a planet quite cold that made some astronomers bold. With just a stroke of their pen, it was an asteroid again, though some other star watchers ain't sold.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I have two. Okay, two more. Okay. Two more. Real quick. Lay them down.
Of the Eternal. Just one more.
Just one more. Okay, Pluto haiku. As a geek, please tell. So now the JLA don't have a planet base? They had a Pluto... never mind.
They did?
Didn't.
Yeah. Wow. I thought they did.
No, they had a satellite base.
Oh.
Yeah, they had a satellite.
Oh.
How the hell are they supposed to get to Earth?
That's a hell of a commute.
I thought it was on Pluto. All right,
next.
All right. A planet named Pluto was famous, but was demoted down to dwarf status. He said, I tried really hard, but all scientists like Mars, and the rest of you just Saturn, Uranus.
Yes.
That's a good one. Saturday.
That's a good one.
Right.
Congratulations.
I've got a long drive tonight, and I'm going to... This is all going to come flooding back to me.
All of a sudden, Tom's like, no, I got to go. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for being our guest.
So
I hope you come back, because you're... definitely welcome here among other semi so-called geeks. If we're not geeks. And anyway, good to see you guys again too, because we haven't done an episode in a while.
Hung out in a while.
And hopefully we'll do one sooner. So bye everybody.
Bye. Have a great geek week.
Bye.
Rock it out.
Geek it out.